examples here very recently when Abram's in Egypt. Abram decides to, number one, go to Egypt in the first place. God had never told him to. There's no direction from God to go down there to save his family from the famine. He just did it. No communication, and he stops worshiping during that time. And then he decides to protect himself even further in putting his wife and his future generations in jeopardy by saying, Sarai is my sister, and letting her be taken into the palace of Pharaoh. I mean, incredible. He's manipulating, he's controlling, and none of it's going his way. And what we see here, he's given up plans and schemes, and he's left the matters in the hands of God. Abram's response meant that he had learned the lessons of Egypt. We could take notes and learn the lessons of Egypt today, even in our lives. Egypt would signify failure of trust in God. Egypt is where Abram almost lost the promise of the land, the seed, and the blessing that we see, because they were knit together in his marital relationship with Sarai. Egypt is where his confidence in his own ability to manipulate was severely battered, even though it wasn't totally destroyed. We're going to see this manipulation thing theme come back up in his life. Abram's return to Ai and Bethel out of Egypt would signify new communion and reliance on God's promises. Abram also shows here that for the sake of peace, he was willing to give up his own rights to Lot. Right? For the sake of peace, he's giving up his rights, the things that he has. Abram is not scrabbling to preserve his own share, or even he even defers to his own nephew. You know how unheard of that is in a Semitic culture? You have primogeniture. You're the first one in order. You have inheritance rights, you have everything else, and yet he's taken Lot under his wing. He's the one that's made Lot a wealthy man. He's the one that could even possess even Lot's possessions by all rights within the legal setting of the time. And yet Abram very graciously has deferred.